It's time to swing into the golf world of today with Springdale Golf Live. Sponsored by our friends at the New Jersey Golf Foundation. Here's your host, Keith Stewart.
Members, friends, and Ryder Cup fans, good afternoon and welcome to Springdale Golf Live. I'm Keith Stewart, and I'll be here entertaining you on this Friday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Fox Sports 920, The Jersey. Here's what's on today's show. We're going to be speaking with a winning player from the U.S. Junior Ryder Cup team, Cannon Clacombe, live from Le Golf National outside of Paris. Then following up with a recap of day one of the 42nd Ryder Cup matches. It was a rough afternoon for the U.S., but the dream of winning on foreign soil for the first time in 25 years is far from over. I think it's time to take a look in the mirror.
Every time.
Excellent job there opening up, Al.
Wow.
So happy to have you back on the board.
Oh, there's, I'm here for you, buddy.
Song of the week there, Dream On by Aerosmith.
Fantastic.
And I've been doing a lot of dreaming this week. You know, I had a dream going on for about 5 years that Tiger Woods would be back in the winner's circle.
And he is.
Happened. I had a dream that the U.S. Junior Ryder Cup team would win this week, and they did.
All right.
And I have another dream that hopefully will come true on Sunday.
And that's
that the U.S. team wins the Ryder Cup overall.
Mm.
But let me digress for a second. I mentioned there in the middle that there was a U.S. Junior Ryder Cup team that traveled over to Paris, just like the adult team did.
Right.
And we are very lucky and fortunate to have a young man named Cannon Clacombe on the line with us live from Paris. All right. He's given us the full Ryder Cup report, junior, and what happened today over there. Cannon Clacombe, welcome to Springdale Golf Live. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me on.
Well, you know, Cannon, I'm a big fan of yours and a big fan of your uncle's for sure. You know, a longtime friend of mine, your Uncle Patrick. But this for today is certainly a celebration of some of your finest accomplishments. And first things first, I think that you and the U.S. team of juniors that went over there who won this week in a very narrow margin, 12.5 points to 11.5 points in the Junior Ryder Cup, should all be celebrated. So, well done.
Yeah,
well done to you,
you
and the team. So tell us a little, tell me a little bit about what it's been like. You've been over there, I think, for almost a week now. Tell me what it's been like hanging out there in Paris.
Yeah, you know, it's been a dream come true. Just like the Ryder Cup, we've been grinding for about a year now. It's a points-based system to get on the team. So we've been traveling all over the country, playing in events, trying to get enough points to get on the team. And unlike the Ryder Cup, the Junior Ryder Cup is 6 boys and 6 girls, so it kind of narrows down the field 50%. So it's truly an honor to be on the team, and this week has definitely been a dream come true for me and the other 11 people on our team.
Well, you know, Cannon Clacombe that we're speaking to here, young junior golf superstar from Bowling Green, Kentucky, but now resides in Orlando, Florida, correct, young man?
Yes, correct.
All right. So he's a class of 2020 for high school, and currently he's the Rolex AJGA 6th best boy in the country ranking-wise, Al, and Junior Golf Week has him at number 8. And, you know, making that Junior Ryder Cup team is quite an accomplishment. Like he said, you have to be one of the top 6 boys to get in there. So, again, congratulations to him. And, you know, it's great that you won and everything, but part of what you get to go over there and experience is the Ryder Cup itself. So you've been there. You've played Le Golf National, right? What's the atmosphere like there this week with the Ryder Cup?
Yeah, it's crazy. People talk about a Ryder Cup all the time being one of the greatest sporting events in the world, and you know, I didn't really witness it at Valhalla. I was a little too young for that, but being here this week, I can definitely say that the people there and the aura of the whole event is unlike anything you'll ever see in your entire life. Being an American on foreign soil, especially at a Ryder Cup, is a little intimidating, and I'm honestly glad I didn't have to hit the first tee shot like some of those guys did, because I know as a fan, it was nerve-wracking for me. So, you know, hearing the guys get booed, hearing the ole, ole, ole's, it's pretty crazy. And if you've never been to a Ryder Cup before, I would highly recommend going and seeing a Ryder Cup for yourself in person.
So I tell you, you know, you bring up the first tee, which is interesting. So they recorded ole's started 57 minutes before dawn today. at the first tee. And, you know, everyone made a big deal about at Hazeltine that there were 1,700 seats behind the first tee. This time there's 7,000. Yeah. 7,000 seats. You ever hit a golf ball in front of like 10,000 people?
No, so I tell you what. So we teed off on the first tee around 3 o'clock, and this was on Wednesday when the guys were playing a 9-hole practice round. And I would say there were probably 4,500 people on that tee when we teed off watching us. And I could barely get the ball to stay on the tee. So when there's 7,000 people there and you're playing in the actual Ryder Cup, teeing off in the first match, I honestly don't think there's anything like it in our sports world today, especially with Tiger being back, like you said, both teams having what Golf Channel is calling the best team we've ever seen. I think this week is definitely one for the record books, and it's going to be one that we won't soon forget.
Well, you know, you bring up a couple good points there about the Ryder Cup. This is the first time since 1986 that the top 10 ranked players in the world ranking are all in the Ryder Cup matches, and they have 17 of the top 18 in the world. The only one in there is Jason Day, who's number 11, but of the top 18 in the world, 17 of those guys are there, world golf ranking-wise. Now, so, well, how'd you hit that shot? Did you hit the fairway?
You know, I necked the heck out of it. It was super spinny. I was going for a low cut off that first tee. Can't really hit driver, but a bunch of us were like, you know what, we're just going to send it. We're going to hit a driver. And luckily I did neck it enough to where it stayed in the fairway. And it was definitely a tee shot I won't ever forget, but it was for sure nerve-wracking.
Well, you did a little better than Ian Poulter today then.
Yeah,
I did. Because he hit it in the water. So, folks, here we're talking to Cannon Claycomb. He's over there in Paris. He's played on the Junior Ryder Cup team. He is recently committed to go play golf at Alabama, following probably who would be one of your role models and heroes, one Mr. Justin Thomas, huh?
Yeah, for sure. Justin, he takes lessons from the same guy I do, Matt Killen. And I actually had a pretty cool moment with him on Wednesday after we played. We saw him driving around. I said hey to him, and he came up and talked to me a little bit and told me a little bit about what the week was like for him. And he said the golf course was one of the best he's ever seen, and the fans were better than any tour event he's ever been to. So I think as a Junior Ryder Cup player and a Ryder Cup player, representing your country in a team event is something that no golfer and an individual tournament would ever experience, and I know those guys are having fun, and I know we had a great week as well.
Well, that's awesome. And so let's get back to this now, because we got to talk Ryder Cup. It's Ryder Cup week, and you played the golf course on Wednesday. And so from a player's perspective, what do you feel like are going to be the key holes this week in match play, and where do you think that, you know, some of these matches are going to swing out there on the golf course? Give us a little breakdown here.
Yeah, so obviously the first tee shot, first hole and second hole are very difficult holes. You got water guarding the left side on the tee shot and the green on one, and then two is a downhill par three playing about 210 with water guarding short and bunkers guarding long. So you get off to a tough start, got to be hitting it well. And the entire golf course is very, very well guarded by water and tall grass, and anything off the fairway is basically dead. If you watch any of Tiger and Patrick Reed this morning, you could see if Tiger missed the fairway, he wasn't getting it on the green. And if he hit it up around the green and missed the green in the rough, he was going to have a very difficult time getting it up and down. But back to your point, I think all the matches that come down to 15, 16, 17, and 18 are going to be won by the player who is playing the best at that time. There's not going to be any BS on those holes, because they're all very difficult holes. 15 and 16, 17 and 18 are guarded by water, and 17 is guarded by tall grass on both sides. So, very difficult closing stretch, and anybody who plays those holes are gonna come out victorious.
So they call the French call that, I'm not gonna say it in their language, but they call it the loop of doom. The 15, 16, 17, and 18. And it has a tremendous stadium effect, which we saw this morning, where, you know, there's like 20,000 people around those four holes. It's really, really, really a cool setup. And so, all right, so let's get into this a little bit further now. We talked about the golf course. Let's talk about these teams. Who do you think's going to win?
You know, I honestly think that America is going to pull it out. I think we saw greatness this morning from the American team going 3-1, and we saw a little bit of a demise this afternoon going 0-4. But I think Mr. Furyk was mainly experimenting this afternoon, seeing who he could pair together and who he couldn't pair together. And on the first day, it's not really as who much is leading. It's just more of who can hang around and not be down by a detrimental amount, which 5-3 is not a detrimental amount at all. And I think we're going to see Tiger tomorrow back in action. I saw a tweet. He said he was hitting it really good. He just wasn't getting his cuts to cut. He was rolling it really well. And I think if he gets it going, the whole team's going to rally behind him. And obviously you have players like Patrick Reed and Jordan Spieth, who is playing like the Jordan Spieth we saw in 2015. So I think our team is ready. I think we're going to come out strong tomorrow. I think Mr. Furyk's going to have pretty stern talking to him tonight. And I think you're going to see a lot of fireworks out of us tomorrow.
You know, I hope you're right, because the one thing I noticed this morning, and I woke up really early to watch this, was that Reed just seemed flat all day. I mean, here's Captain America. Here's the guy that brings it on himself, all of the boos and you know, and the foreign soil, you know, and, jeers that are thrown at him and everything. And he just, I mean, he plunked it into water on the first hole. It was unbelievable. I was like, when's this guy going to wake up? You're playing with Tiger Woods. You know, what do you think about that? If you were paired with Tiger Woods?
Playing with Tiger Woods was obviously difficult, and you've seen it many times on tour this season. You know, Rory played with Tiger this week at the Tour Championship. I think he shot 76 in the final round. Justin Rose played with him the third round. He shot 72 or 73, which is 2 or 3 over par. Playing with Tiger is just a different animal. It brings 5,000, 6,000, 8,000 more people to the arena that you're playing in, and I think it makes any player of any skill level a little more nervous than they usually are, and it might knock them off their game a little bit, but I was definitely disappointed in Reed today. I know he chipped in on hole 8, I think, to win the hole and didn't even give a fist pump or anything, which in match play on foreign soil, you have to pump yourself up because the fans aren't going to pump you up. So
sure.
I think you're definitely going to see a little more out of Patrick tomorrow. But I think the storyline today was seeing Spieth play the way he did. And, you know, Justin as well. We saw Spieth, you know, putting it like he did when he won the Masters in 2015. We saw them go 3 up early, then fall back to all square, and they ultimately finished out on a high note. So I think where the players who we thought were going to be amazing aren't doing as great as they usually do, we have the players who aren't doing as good as we usually think they are picking it up and, you know, playing to their fullest potential.
Now, you know, I got to poke a little fun at you here, because I know you live at Lake Nona down in Orlando, and that's house to certainly, you know, Gregor Jameson, who's a fantastic guy and a mentor of mine. But I know who he roots for this week. And you've got Ian Poulter lives there. Henrik Stenson, Justin Rose has lived there. I mean, these guys, you know, these guys, you've seen around the practice facility. How are you going to handle that when the USA waxes them this week?
And sure. Yeah, I'm definitely cheering for USA. And if we do pull it out, I'm definitely going to not let them hear the end of it. I'm going to keep it a little respectful just because they have a little more to their name than I do. But at the same time, you know, it's really cool being able to see people you live around play in events that one day you hope to play in. And leading up to Junior Ryder Cup, I was able to talk to Poulter a little bit. I was able to talk to Simpson a little bit. And the knowledge that they hold in match play and in the Ryder Cup is – it's pretty crazy to hear how different it is to when they tee it up in just a regular tour event. But obviously the names you just named off are great match play players, but I'm definitely cheering for USA this week.
All right, Cannon, I'm about done here before I have to go to break. So what I want to do is, you know, I want to spread the word about Cannon Claycomb, class of 2020, heading to Alabama. You're on social media. Why don't you let our listeners know where they can follow you, they can keep in touch with you, maybe a future tournament that's coming up. What do you got going on?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Instagram. It's pretty easy. It's Golfing Machine, all one word. Pretty funny username. And then on Twitter, it's GolfBall01, all one word as well. And I post pretty frequently about tournaments, updates and stuff. And people feel free to DM me or anything on Instagram if they have any questions or want to figure out how they can come watch, or if they want to just strike up a conversation about golf or anything else.
All right, Cannon. Well, I can't thank you enough for being on. I want to say, you know, personally, fantastic job with the Mason Cup this year. I know you put a tremendous amount of heart and soul into that, and you know, you should certainly be congratulated for all of that. Give your best to my to your folks, and I'll talk to you soon, bud.
Thank you so much. Go USA.
Yeah, man. Go USA, and safe travels coming home, all right?
Appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.
Take care. Well, there you go, Al. Yep. You know, that was Paris on the line right there. I could hear, I think I could hear some French bistro or something in the background there.
I heard something like that.
Yes,
yeah.
You know, maybe mom and dad checking up on him. Who knows? Well, anyway, hey, you know what? It's about that time. You know, it's 3:15 here in Princeton, and you know, for Canada, it's 9:15 over there for our friends listening in Paris. Thanks for tuning in to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Be back in a minute.
Cash up to $5,000 with this cash code.
Casino.
Got it? Now go to 920thejersey.com for your chance at winning cash. Get all the info and rules at 920thejersey.com.
The New Jersey Golf Foundation, the charitable arm of the NJPGA section, is committed to positively impacting lives and communities through the game of golf, with a focus on three core pillars: youth, military, and special needs. The NJGF delivers dynamic programming under the guidance of PGA professionals, so individuals from all backgrounds can experience the game of golf in a welcoming environment. To support the NJGF or learn more about programs and special events, visit njgolffoundation.org. That's njgolffoundation.org.
We want you to wake up every morning and get ready for incredible and entertaining sports talk from Clay Travis. Weekdays 6 to 9, it's Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Let's get back on course as Springdale Golf Live continues on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Once again, Keith Stewart.
Welcome back to Springdale Golf Live. You're listening to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. And that first part there, the interview there, talking to Cannon Claycomb, junior golf, just amazing player here.
He sure is.
He is awesome. He
and
is.
You said the class of
2020.
High school,
2020. 2020. Yeah.
Wow.
It is still 2018.
Yes, it is.
And the other day I mentioned something about Y2K, and that was 18 years ago.
Yeah, Al. Do you believe that?
I can't. And, I honestly can't.
And we were all nervous, and nothing really happened.
Yeah. Actually, the only way I can believe how long it's been is when I actually look at Steven Tyler from Aerosmith. You know, I tell you, he doesn't age well. Anyway.
Well, that's what happens to me when I look in the mirror. I think, oh, geez, just yesterday I looked like a svelte young guy.
Well, anyway,
you're at a loss for words.
Not really.
I didn't
it's just
think
nice
so.
Words.
Nice words.
Yeah.
I do have an 8-second delay, but that may not be long enough.
Well, I have to follow. You know, my mom always said, if you're not going to say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
All right, especially about old people.
Well, and along those lines, I'm not going to say anything nice, and I'm not going to say anything nice about Team Europe this week for the Ryder Cup. Not at all. No, I love Cannon's sentiment there where he's like, let's go USA.
That was
and
great.
Of course, nice intro coming back in there with the song of the week, Dream On by Aerosmith. And there's a couple different things, you know, as I mentioned in the opening, that the reason I picked that for the song of the week was that, you know, it's great to dream, mm-hmm. you know, and to be Cannon, to be a junior in high school and to have his whole, you know, career in front of him, his education in front of him and all these things that he's doing. I mean, he's living the dream.
He is.
You know, he's over there in Paris playing in the Junior Ryder Cup, you know, meeting Tiger Woods, meeting Justin Thomas. And, you know, he's a fantastic player. He has a tremendously hard work ethic. And I encourage anyone to listen to the podcast. You know, you can get it on iTunes and rewind it back there and hit him up on social media. He loves followers. I mean, he's a young kid and he's very much into that scene, and I give him all the credit in the world. And so for years, Tiger Woods has been off the map. He's been off the grid, Al. And
for what was that, like 10?
13.
13?
2013, okay. He had 5 wins. And then after that, things really took a downward spiral. And, you know, this past week, he earned win number 80.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a huge Tiger Woods fan. I worked at Isle Worth, where he resided from 1998 to 2003. Okay. So I'd been there during the heyday. I mean, like, we called the summer of 2000 the summer of love. That was our version of it, because everybody loved Tiger Woods. He had 10 wins, 10 million, three majors in a row. It was an amazing thing to be a part of, and to see him practice and to get to know him and everything. So I have been the most diehard Tiger Woods fan through thick and thin. Some things I'm not super proud of that he's accomplished in his life, but if we're just sticking to golf, and that's what Springdale Golf Live is, it's golf. A year ago he was 1,199th in the world, and now he's ranked 13th.
Wow.
He was a vice captain on this Ryder Cup team, and they get 2 years to earn points, and he got himself to be almost points wise on the team in less than a year.
How about that?
I mean, it's amazing. Yeah. He's just I'm so happy he's back. And so many people told me he's never coming back. I've got college friends, I've got members at the club. Oh, Tiger will never win again. He'll never win again. Just say it loud enough so he can hear you, right? Just say it loud enough so Tiger can hear you. Mm-hmm. Earlier in the week, I heard a quote on the Golf Channel from David Duval, and they were talking. Before they got into the Ryder Cup stuff, they were recapping the win that Tiger had at the Tour Championship, and Duval said back in March. He said, all you guys keep saying you want Tiger to come back because you want to compete against him while you're in your prime. You want to know how good Tiger was. Well, be careful what you wish for, because the cat is back.
That's true.
And if there's any doubt in your mind that that man is the needle, then you didn't watch him play the 18th hole on Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
That storm of people that came down. Now, I'm not old enough to have seen Arnold Palmer play golf, but the legend of Arnie's Army was alive and well behind Tiger and his red shirt on Sunday.
How about that?
What a spectacle. I mean, tears in my eyes, chills in my spine. I mean, it was unbelievable. And here's a little funny story that I talked to some of my Isle Worth friends. So Tiger goes, and after he gets done, does all his media stuff and everything, now he's going to meet up at the hotel with the guys that are on the Ryder Cup team. And Jim Furyk, because he's a good friend of Tiger's, and he's pretty much a peer of his age-wise, mm-hmm. and played on tour with him all those years, told everyone on the team to give Tiger the cold shoulder. So they had a room in the hotel, and Tiger is one of the last people to show up because he had won, and he had needed to do a bunch of things before he got to the hotel room. And Tiger's thinking to himself, he's going to run in the room, and they're going to celebrate, and there's going to be this great thing, and everybody gives him the cold shoulder. Some guys are checking their phones. Some guys, they're like, oh, hey, Tiger, how you doing? When he walked in the room, and he's like, what's going on?
Uh-huh.
Like, I just won. Guys, yeah. I won today. Yeah. Come on. What? So, everyone, even his competitors are having a little fun with him these days, and he's taking it well. So, the dream lives on for me. Tiger's back in the winner's circle. Mm-hmm. Let's see if he wins a major next year.
Yeah.
But, all right, so we got to get back across the pond over to the Ryder Cup. It is Ryder Cup week. I just wanted to spend a little time on Tiger there. But Le Golf National, the golf course over there, and they call it the Albatross course. And it was designed back in 1990, and they have these four closing holes, and we mentioned it earlier, 15, 16, 17, and 18, are created in somewhat of like a stadium effect, kind of like Sawgrass is here, TPC Sawgrass, where we play the Players' Championship, where they have these huge crowds on hilltops around the greens, and they're all surrounded by water, and they're very treacherous. They call it the Loop of Doom. And if you watch this morning, I mean, things got a little doomish in the afternoon, gloom and doom for the U.S., but during the morning, things were going good. And, when I walked in today, Al, I know you saw the way I was dressed. I've got USA socks on. I've got USA FootJoys on, with embroidered flags on them. I've got white pants. I got a red, white, and blue shirt. I mean, I was ready to rock today. I was up about 4:45 in the morning because they teed off at 2:10 our time.
Right.
So I didn't make the call for that, but I was up at 4:45 in the morning. I mean, I was just ready to go for this thing. Unbelievable. I DVR'd the first tee shots at 2 a.m. I watched those, and then I hopped into the matches where they were. Just fantastic, fantastic theater. And then we came out of the beginning of the morning wave, and we were up 3-1. You get 1 point per match, and there's four matches, so we're up 3-1, and things are looking good. Our horses are running. Our thoroughbreds are running. We had guys like Brooks Koepka playing well, Dustin Johnson and Ricky Fowler. playing really, really well. Rory McIlroy not playing well. Things are going very good for us there. Just like Cannon mentioned, Jordan Spieth seemed to be back to the Jordan Spieth that we know and the Europeans don't like. You know, he's making putts, hitting good shots. And those three teams, they won. And then Tiger Woods and Patrick Reed, who Patrick Reed everyone calls Captain America, they ran into a buzzsaw that is Tommy Fleetwood and Francisco Molinari, the Open Championship winner. And those guys just put the pedal to the metal during the loop of doom, and they took it to them. But the U.S. came out on top 3-1, and that was a great start to the day. Mm-hmm. So then they go play foursomes, which is alternate shot for the casual golf fan listening to us. And alternate shot means that they're going to have two players on each team, and they're going to hit not shots successively. So if Al and I are a team, Al tees off, then I hit, then Al hits, then I hit the putt, and it goes in the hole. We've made a four. And we could compare that score to our competitors of another two-person team. So this afternoon, speaking of the loop of doom, was the afternoon of doom, as the European team won all four matches. All four.
Wow.
They blanked us.
Yeah.
Now, you might say to yourself, Ali, I could see the look in your eye, and you're going, well, maybe that's happened before. And it hasn't. Europe has never, ever swept foursomes or alternate shot in 41 prior Ryder Cups.
I did not know that.
Yes. So hopefully they are not listening to the song of the week and dreaming on, because we would like their dreams to stop currently. Mm-hmm. And not good this afternoon. And it wasn't even so much that it wasn't good, but none of the matches were close. They were all whoopings. You know, each one of these guys that played, Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, Bubba, Webb Simpson, Phil, Bryson, JT Spieth. I think Captain Furyk's going to have to go out behind the woodshed, grab all eight of them, and bring them back to the team meeting tonight. Not good. But when that got done, final score for the day is 5-3. There's 1 point per match. There's eight matches. Math works out. We've done a good job. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow morning, they've already announced who's playing whom. And if you set the alarm again, Al, if you want, I'll text you at 2:10 when I wake up.
All right? I know you will. Hey,
I'm going to do my best for 2:10. But honestly, it's going to be like 4-something.
Yeah.
It is. My wife, the alarm went off today, and she was like, seriously? And I was like, Ryder Cup. She's like,
that's nice.
You have problems.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? She's a wonderful woman. And she said, just get out and go downstairs and watch it.
Right.
And that was fine. And, you know, she joined me later with a cup of coffee and my brand new puppy, Harbor. And it was, we had a nice little morning, quiet, watching a little bit of the tube, Ryder Cup. U.S. was doing good at that time. Loved every minute of it. It was awesome.
Now, you see, 2:10 won't be bad for me. I get my second win then. I'm getting up off the sofa to go to bed. So I just might as well stay awake then.
Yeah, just
text me. I'll be there.
As you start to doze off, right? As you start to doze off.
What, 8:30
hit
tonight?
The golf channel on your cable remote.
I've
doze
done that.
Off to that. By the time you wake up, you hear the olays. Ole, 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 ole. I mean, you'll hear all sorts of French accents.
I hear that when my wife hollers at me in French.
Al, this is a family show. Okay. So we've got these matches for tomorrow morning. First off, and I don't blame Captain Furyk for this at all. He's going to put these two just long ball hitters right in the first group. They won this morning. They're going back out again. Tony Finau and Brooks Koepka. And they're going to take on Sergio Garcia and Rory McIlroy. Now, you know, this is an interesting pairing here, because McIlroy, he had an up and down day today. Sergio, not in his best form this year. And these two guys they're going against, they put the pedal to the metal in the end today against Justin Rose and Jon Rahm, and they won. So happy to see them going out first. Really good move there by Captain Furyk. Second match, Paul Casey and Tyrrell Hatton for the Euro side against Dustin Johnson, number one player in the world, and Ricky Fowler. So those guys love playing four ball together. You know, right there, I've got it 2-0, and it's already 5-5, mm-hmm. and we've got two more matches to go. Just book it. Lock it up right now. We're New Jersey, Al, so you could leave the show this afternoon, head right down to right over to Monmouth Park, and just book that.
Oh, I could.
Yep. Don't know that you will. You don't seem all that excited about doing it.
Oh, but I could.
But you can.
I will.
All right, cool.
Okay.
All right, put some in for me. All right, third up, Woods and Reed. So we got El Tigre and Captain America versus Molinari and Fleetwood. Now, I love what Furyk was trying to do here, because Molinari and Fleetwood had been playing the anchor match all day today. And Furyk probably moved Woods and Reed to try to make sure they don't go against Europe's basically best playing team all day today.
Right.
And Thomas Bjorn, the captain of Europe, moved them up too. So they get to play the same guys again, which is great. But, you know, it's a different day. We'll see what happens.
Oh, yeah.
And then to close it out, we've got Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth, and they're going to take on Ian Poulter and Jon Rahm, which both those guys are pretty fiery for Europe. And, you know, Spieth can get it going. I like that anchor match. You know, that one will be finishing about 6:30, 7 a.m. in the morning, you know, right about the time you get your third wind. And, you know, at that point, you know, I've got that there again. I'm going to go 3-1 again. And if you do the math there, it's going to be 6-6 as we go into the final foursomes, four matches on Saturday afternoon, and then we'll have the 12 singles matches on Sunday. And it's just, I mean, it's going to be an amazing Ryder Cup. I'm so excited about it.
I know you are.
We'll
check the scores next Thursday.
We will check this
Friday.
Friday.
I thought
Friday.
Today was Thursday.
No, it is Friday. But,
that's right. You're on Friday.
Thanks.
Yep.
Thanks for paying attention. Anyway.
It's my job.
and you do a tremendous aplomb.
I'm only the program director of this thing, so I should know what's going on.
So it's good that you're on the right day.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, a couple news and notes real quick
before we
get going this week, because it's about that time.
Yeah,
the first thing I want to do is I want to thank writer Joe Emanski for his fantastic article in the Hopewell Express this week. He did a little article about the director of fun. We all know who that is, Al.
Yes,
so, Joe, thank you so much for the support and the fantastic job you did. And, you know, for you spreading the word about our Holes of Hope golf marathon we're going to do and collect some money for the New Jersey Golf Foundation. Our sponsors, and of course, Christine's Hope for Kids Foundation. You know, I want to say good luck to my Lady Princeton Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend is the Women's Princeton Invitational. We have 14 teams over at Springdale right now playing a practice round of Ladies Division I Collegiate Golf. And I have Princeton as a heavy favorite, Al, over at Monmouth Park.
Okay.
And I'm going to bet them real heavy. So they're two-time defending Ivy League champions. Fantastic. So, you know, big shout out to Erica DeSani and her team. I think they're going to do really well this weekend. Good luck. Thank you to all my listeners. My producer on the board, Mr. Al Brooks, always having a great time. So happy to have you back.
Me too.
The Springdale Board of Governors and our friends at Troon, thanks for all your support. Most importantly, our listeners. Folks, I'm going to send you back over to the Doug Gottlieb Show. Kelvin Washington and Dan Byer filling in for him. Because you know what? I got to head over to Springdale. But where are you headed? We'll let the tower be your guide. And from Philadelphia to France, and of course everywhere online, may you all have a Springdale day.
You've been listening to Springdale Golf Live with Keith Stewart. Keith returns to the tee next Friday afternoon at 3 on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
We now return you to our regularly scheduled national Fox Sports 920 The Jersey programming already in progress.